This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. U.S. President Donald Trump says the world is a safer place after the death of Islamic State leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who was killed late Saturday during a U.S. raid in Syria. The action is being widely applauded, but some warn that the danger posed by the terror group has not been eliminated. VOA's Michael Sullivan has more.
Sunday morning, Trump thanked the U.S. troops and others who cooperated.
I want to thank the nations of Russia, Turkey, Syria, and Iraq. And I also want to thank the Syrian Kurds for certain support they were able to give us. This was a very, very dangerous mission.
Israel's prime minister congratulated the U.S. president.
This is an important milestone, but it's part of a longer battle which we must win.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson called this an important moment, but said the fight against Baghdadi's group continues. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
The U.S. chief peace negotiator for Afghanistan met leaders in Kabul Sunday after arriving in the country on an unannounced visit. It is his first since President Trump halted talks with Taliban insurgents on ending the Afghan war. Officials said that Zalmay Khalilzad was accompanied, among others, by Lisa Curtis, the senior director for South and Central Asia at the U.S. National Security Council. The visit came on a day when the Afghan Independent Election Commission set November 14th as the new day for releasing preliminary results from the September 28th controversy-marred presidential polls. The commission was originally scheduled to announce the first results on October 19th, but they missed that deadline, citing technical problems as well as efforts to protect the transparency of the process. Find more at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Conservative President Mauricio Macri conceded defeat in Argentina's election Sunday night, paving the way for the country's Peronist center-left, who returned to power under Alberto Fernandez, as frustrated voters rejected the incumbent's handling of a bruising economic crisis that has sunk many into poverty. The result would mark a dramatic return to high office of former President Cristina Fernandez, Alberto Fernandez's vice presidential running mate, a former boss, and where critics say might be the power behind his presidency. Hong Kong protesters set fire to shops and hurled petrol bombs on Sunday after riot police fired tear gas and water cannon to disperse thousands. Reuters' Emer McCarthy reports.
Their actions followed police firing tear gas, water cannon, and rubber bullets to break up a gathering in the Jim Suk Choi Harbourfront District denouncing perceived police brutality. Protesters donned all black clothing and face masks, banned under a resurrected British colonial-era law. Police, in a statement, warned all rioters to stop all illegal acts immediately. But their calls did little to quell demonstrators, with cat-and-mouse chases continuing throughout the night. Protesters ran away from police, only to reappear seconds or minutes later. Police have denied accusations of brutality, saying they have shown restraint over the past months.
That's Reuters' Emer McCarthy reporting.
Although I've heard some people express concerns that we're evacuating too many people, I think those concerns are not valid at this point.
That is Sonoma County Sheriff Mark Essick at a news conference talking about evacuations, saying that they are doing the right thing in California. California Governor Gavin Newsom declared a statewide state of emergency because of wildfires and power cuts to millions to stop more fires from breaking out. 200,000 people have been forced to flee their homes in Sonoma County alone. That's north of San Francisco. The county's sheriff's office calls it the largest such evacuation anyone can remember. The California utility company Pacific Gas and Electric shut off power to nearly 1 million homes and businesses across Northern California, some with very little notice. Businesses are angry that the power cuts have cost them tens of thousands of dollars, and residents bitterly complain about the inconvenience of going all weekend without any lights. But PG&E says that it doesn't want electricity surging through power lines that are blown down or knocked over by fallen trees, sparking even more forest fires. California authorities blame PG&E lines for setting last year's wildfires that killed 85 people and destroyed entire towns. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, October 28th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. The mayor of Cameroon's southwest province capital, Buea, is dead, and the separatists are rejoicing.
What I can immediately tell you as a response to his passing is that we and the interim government of Ambazonia, we are banning his cult from returning to Ambazonia.
Chris Anu is the spokesman for the self-proclaimed Ambazonia Republic. We will hear from a friend of the late mayor Ikema Patrick Isonge. Malawi's main opposition leader rejects a call by President Mutharika for a dialogue. And the Council of Patriots has called yet another protest in Liberia.
Because the president has failed or refused to react to our demands as contained in the statement submitted, we the people have decided, under the banner of the Council of Patriots, to exercise yet again our democratic right to ask the president to step down.
Henry Costa is a spokesman for the Council of Patriots, and a new report this month documents human rights abuses in Congo-Brazzaville. Those story plus Samson Omale's polls are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Cameroon separatists are rejoicing over the death of the mayor of the country's southwest province capital, Buea. Mayor Ikema Patrick Isonge died early Sunday under unspecified circumstances. The separatists denied they play a role in the mayor's death. But Chris Anu, the Secretary of State for the self-proclaimed interim government of Ambazonian Republic, says Mayor Isonge was a thorn in the side of his own people. Anu says Mayor Isonge terrorized his own people using the Cameroon military.
Ikema has been a thorn in the flesh of his own people, and his passing away, we learn, has been marked with tremendous celebration across all of Ambazonia. How he died, what killed him, is what we do not know yet. But what I can immediately tell you as a response to his passing in Douala, in French Cameroon, is that we and the interim government of Ambazonia, we are banning his cult from returning to Ambazonia.
Mayor Ikema Isonge, I saw the picture of him. He's a very young man. People I talked with late last night in Cameroon seem very shocked about his sudden death. Is there any foul play here?
We do not know at this moment whether there was any foul play, but what I can assure you is that Ikema Patrick had created so many enemies for himself and against the government that he represents. If you go to Buea, market women are celebrated, business people are celebrated. I mean, the entire city is celebrated. They are celebrating because he had made himself a common enemy to everybody in that city. He would take the soldiers, walk around the streets, shut down people's shops, shut down people's businesses. He did this again and again and again and built for himself enmity from his own people. So it wouldn't be surprising if one of his enemies is behind this.
So you are saying that Ambazonia, the movement, is not behind the death of Mayor Ikema?
Absolutely not. We are not fighting against civilians. We are fighting against a military that is occupying our territory. We have no business fighting a mayor. No. Ambazonia, we have nothing to do with the death of Ikema. But what I can tell you is, because he was hated by his own people for what he did to the people, we have banned the remains of Ikema Patrick from returning to Buea.
As I was saying again, Mayor Ikema was a popular person. Some people say he was a big football promoter. If you have nothing to do with his passing, why not allow his body to come back home?
No, the people of Ambazonia, and particularly the people in the city of Buea, would not want to see his body, his remains, brought into that city because it's an abomination what he did to the civilians, the business people in that city. He made many of them to lose their lives. He made many of them to lose their homes. Took the army, went around breaking down people's homes, breaking down people's businesses. I mean, I'm just telling you, there is celebration that he is dead in his own city, the city in which he was mayor. They are celebrating first because he was a wicked man, and secondly because he was a crony to the BS regime.
Did someone tell me that Ambazonian people claim responsibility?
Well, maybe some faction, I am not sure, not this interim government in which I belong.
Chris, thank you very much again. We are happy to talk with you under these circumstances. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, James, as usual. Thank you, sir.
Chris Anu is the Secretary of State for Communication of the self-proclaimed interim government of Ambazonia. He was speaking with us from Europe. A friend of the late Mayor Ekema Patrick Isongay of Cameroon's Southwest Province capital, Buea, says the late mayor fought a good fight for his people and stood for an indivisible Cameroon. Oscar Mayer says the mayor stood up against the ghost town policy of the separatists.
I am personally very, very devastated due to the fact that we shared a very close relationship. He was more of a father to me. He was an uncle to me. He was a big brother to me. He stood against the issue of ghost towns, separatist actions of an imaginary Facebook Republic, Ambazonia, I'll call it that way. I definitely want to say that at this point in time, it's very normal for propaganda to take place, because that's what has actually been the case from the start of this crisis. Propaganda, even from both ends. So if a separatist will say that he's a wicked man, he has been bidding for President Paul Biya, he's the mayor of the ruling party, which is the CPDM. And it's very expected to understand that you should defend the interest of your party. I'm not a politician, but I'm letting you understand how politics, or making you understand my own opinion of politics. You don't try to beat the hand that feeds you. He's the mayor of CPDM, ruling party in Buea. So it's very normal to pay allegiance. But at the same time, he also fought a good fight. And at least the peace that the people of Buea are facing today is due to his hard work. That people, even at this time, they are taking some bottles, relaxing around, is due to the fact that he stood for peace. He stood for one and indivisible Cameroon. And so anybody can say whatever he or she wants to say, be it a separatist because of the propaganda attitude, is normal. He was a man with his unique character. Just like we all know, no human being is perfect. He had his own flaws, which sometimes were public, but at the same time, he was very steadfast to the commitment of a one and indivisible Cameroon, which Buea is actually benefiting from now because of a freedom that we have today in Buea, the city of excellence. So he has fought a good fight. People, mourners came today and they were crying, saying that who will then protect the people of Buea now? Because he was like the shield. But we all know that God is still God. So anybody who wants to say anything, every opinion is free, but the mayor of Buea fought a good fight by protecting his own people and making sure that separatist actions don't come across the city of Buea and Fako. Why not Southwest in general?
Oscar Mayer is a friend of the late Ekema Patrick Isongay, mayor of Cameroon's Southwest Province capital, Buea. He was speaking with us from Douala. The leader of the main opposition Malawi Congress Party says he's not interested in a dialogue with President Arthur Peter Mutharika. President Mutharika over the weekend asked human rights activists and the opposition for a round table to discuss the political impasse that has plagued the country since the May 21st election. There have been protests calling for the resignation of Malawi Election Commission Chair Jean Ansa for her alleged handling of the election. The case is currently before the country's high court. Lazarus Chakwera says he has nothing to dialogue with the president while the case is in the court.
Well, I haven't been informed officially. What he says on public podium needs to be defined, because there are a number of things I don't understand, and so he would have to make himself clear. What we are doing is proceeding with court process, and whatever the courts will determine will be that which we abide by as law-abiding people.
First of all, it seems to be it's taking too long for the court to come down with the ruling. I understand the court is resuming on Monday.
Well, it's been protracted, but we understand also that which is involved, and we do not want to necessarily get involved in whatever they call dialogue in place of that which is already before the courts.
The Archbishop of Blantyre, Thomas Msusa, we did speak to him some time ago, and he was involved in some initiative. his public affairs committee was trying to find some kind of a way to resolve the issue. Is that still ongoing?
Yes, it's supposed to be ongoing, and they have done that shuttle diplomacy, if I may call it that. And we have been interacting with them, and so we're waiting for their next move. We have been participating in dialogue. I don't know what Mr. Mbarika is meaning by, oh, let's bury the hatchet. I don't know which hatchet it is. And so he would need to really make himself clear. I don't know when he talks about, oh, this is a small issue, we'll handle it. I don't know if something is taking 4 months in the courts, it's a small issue. I don't believe so. So this whole thing needs to be defined well. But we have supported PAC's initiative.
If you have supported PAC's initiative, like the one with Archbishop Msusa, why not sit directly with the president?
Why would I want to sit with him? What are we talking about?
He wants a roundtable to end the impasse.
The courts will determine the case that is before it in terms of the leadership of the country, which is what we have challenged.
Are you willing to accept whatever ruling the court comes down with?
That's just what I told you a minute ago, that we are a law-abiding people. One of the tenets of my campaign was that we would follow rule of law. And that is precisely why we took that route to challenge the election results.
We do appreciate very much talking with you always, and thank you for always talking with us.
I appreciate you, sir. Thank you so much.
Lazaro Chakwera is the leader of the opposition Malawi Congress Party. He was speaking with us from the capital, Lilongwe. Today is Monday, October 28th, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Let's give shout out to listeners on these, our Voice of America affiliate station, Radio Life in Lofa County, Radio Banga in FM 96.5 in Bank County, Brela FM in Nigeria, Kisi FM in Tanzania, and Capital FM in Blantyre, Malawi. Daybreak Africa time, 17 minutes past the hour. A report out this month from the United Nations Special Rapporteur for the Rights of Indigenous Peoples documents numerous abuses by authorities in Congo-Brazzaville. The report says the Baka people have been chased off their traditional lands. The report's author, Victoria Tule Corpus, tells Ricky Schreier they have even been prohibited from entering the forest where they perform their religious rituals.
You know, but in the strict protected areas, which is like the place that you are not supposed to do any human activity, they are not allowed to go into those areas. Actually, that's where their sacred places are as well.
Is it that the government, the Baka, have very little representation at the government levels, or who are the Echo Guard reporting to?
The Echo Guards are usually the Bantu. They report to the Ministry of Forest, so they are the ones who are employing them, but also to the conservation organization. Organizations like World Wildlife Society.
So even conservation societies are kind of treading on the rights of indigenous people in Congo Brazzaville.
Well, they said, because we spoke to them, and they said that, of course, the people that they are only authorized to, the Echo Guards are authorized to arrest are the poachers, you know. But this whole poaching definition is very vague. Poaching is only for the protected species, but some of the indigenous people said, we were not hunting protected species. Yeah. We were hunting the usual things that we eat, like the deer or the porcupine, you know, because they eat those, the wild boar.
The Echo Guards, who are training the Echo Guard?
We asked that also, and the WCS said that they are training them, you know, and some of in the forest, the Ministry of Forest Economy, they said they are also training them. So it's both the government and the conservation organizations, I guess.
Do they already have not very much land to begin with, the Baka?
Well, no, they have a lot of land. Congo is so big, and they only have 4 million people, so there's a lot of land. The thing is, many of these are given to forest concessions, no? Forest logging company. Of course, they are also delineated as Bias National Park.
So do you think the threats are the national parks, but also the logging concessions?
Well, we talked with the CIB in Popola, and they said that they are FSC certified, Forest Stewardship Council certified. So in that certification, they are also required to protect the rights of the indigenous peoples. So according to them, they are doing that. But there are five companies that are operating in the same area, and we didn't have a chat talk with these companies, so I really don't have, but the indigenous people whom I spoke with said that, yeah, they suffer from these violations of their rights.
That was Victoria Tule Kwapus, the United Nations Special Rapporteur for the Rights of Indigenous People. She was speaking to Ricky Stryak from Brazzaville. Liberians, under the umbrella of the Council of Patriots, have called for yet another protest for December 30th, this time to demand that President George Weah steps down. But some groups, like the Opposition Alternative National Congress Party, says such protests will be unconstitutional to seek the removal of an elected president through undemocratic means. But Henry Costa, the spokesman for the Council of Patriots, says opposition parties are not invited to join the protest. He said the protest is necessary because President Weah has failed to respond to the demands of Liberians that they made during their June 7, 2019 protest.
Because the president has failed or refused flat out to react to our demands as contained in the statement submitted, we the people have decided under the banner of the Council of Patriots to come out again, this time considering the very harsh economic situation in the country and no efforts being made to ameliorate this hardship. We've decided to come out to exercise yet again our democratic right to ask the president to step down. That is why the December 30th protest has been called.
The last time you had a protest, I think it was on June 7th, you had the support of many of the opposition collaborating political parties. There's a statement here from one of those parties, the chairman of the party, Mr. Alexander Kamis, of the Alternative National Congress, saying that, in fact, he's disassociating himself from this particular protest that's coming up.
Yes. The last time the political parties were involved with the protest, this time we, the Council of Patriots, asked the political parties to stand in the background. We asked them not to be engaged. We want this protest to be a people-driven protest. We don't want the political parties involved because we don't want it to appear that they are trying to oust the president. We want the people themselves to be the ones to say, Mr. President, step down. So the statement by the ANC is unnecessary because they were not involved in the first place, and we didn't ask them for their support for this protest in the first place. The individual Liberian citizens who are bearing the brunt of the hardship in the country are the ones who are going to come out to protest, and we do not need any political party involved.
If you want the president to step down, why don't you wait until an election?
Well, Mr. Bote, our constitution provides us the right under Article 1 to change the government through, of course, elections. But at the same time, the Constitution provides that we can assemble and we can petition our government to do something or not to do something. And that petition that we want to present this time is to ask the president to step down. It is a freedom of speech article under our Constitution. Ask the president to step down. The president may resign for several conditions. It is in the Constitution. In this case, we think the president is incapable of running the country, and so we want him to resign.
Who do you have in mind to replace him?
Well, we have a constitution in place, and the succession chain is clearly spelled out. If the president and the VP were to step down, the speaker would step in, or if only the president were to step down, the vice president would step in. What we're trying to do is to just get the policies changed. The president doesn't listen to us. He doesn't care about us. Things are getting worse, and he isn't acting. So if the president goes and the VP stays, she's going to step up. If the both of them leave, the speaker will step up and organize fresh elections. We believe in the Constitution.
We're not asking him to give us the country in that sense, but we want him to go because he's not able to run the country.
The last time you had the June 7th protest, there was a massive turnout. What are you expecting?
We expect there will be a much larger turnout this time because the situation in the country has worsened since June 7th. We believe that there will be more people because more people are hurting. The situation is hopeless. the exchange rate crisis, the food inflation, general inflation, 30-something percent hyperinflation in the country. The corruption is increasing. The president's insensitivity, flying private jet everywhere he goes, and corruption and the lack of any action taken against people deemed to be engaged in acts of corruption. These are the reasons why we believe there will be more and more people out on the streets.
Henry Costa is the spokesman for the Council of Patriots, organizers of the coming December 30th protest in Liberia. He was speaking with us from the U.S. state of Delaware. For Daybreak Africa's hosting, here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you, James. We begin the sports with the Rugby World Cup, where South Africa stunned Wales to qualify for the Rugby World Cup on Sunday. The diminutive scrum half, Faf de Klerk, defied the odds and made his presence felt on the pitch with a stellar performance to guide South Africa to a 19-16 win. South Africa will now meet England in a repeat of the 2007 final. And here is how South African fans in Johannesburg reacted to the Springboks' victory.
It was a disappointing start, but it all picked up a bit during the half end. And at the end, it was a bit nail-biting experience, but we pulled through.
I don't sleep tonight before a match, so I was hoping for a better score.
That was the most nervous I've ever been, hey? Not even my deepest aims, I was that exerting, that nervous, hey?
It was getting quite tight at the end, but there was no doubt in my mind that the Boko was going to win.
South Africa head coach Rassi Erasmus and captain Siya Kolisi react after they secured a spot at the final at the Rugby World Cup 2019 on Saturday in Yokohama.
I'm not 100% sure if a World Cup final is going to be won by a very expansive game plan with wonderful tries. It might be. I might be wrong. But I think we'll go and the grind it out route.
It means a lot to me and the team. Our discipline was, we weren't happy with the first half. We gave a lot of penalties away. I felt like we were putting them under pressure, and every time we release it by giving a penalty. And, we had that chat at halftime, and it's always good to see when guys respond to that, and it got better and better as the win came.
The Ghana Football Association has elected football administrator Krot Okraku as its new president. The election comes over a year after FIFA banned former president Kwesi Nyatachi for life following a corruption scandal. The 48-year-old Krot Okraku, a former sports journalist, was endorsed with 93 votes in the third round after his closest challenger, the former Ghana Football Association vice president George Afria, had conceded defeat. Okraku had won every round against four other candidates before eventually winning the crucial vote to become the 24th president of the Ghana Football Association. He speaks on his victory and plans for Ghanaian football.
It is time for us to work. It is time for us to let go of all our bad feelings. It's time for us to forget about the struggles, the fights. It's time to look into the future with hope, to build a new Ghana Football Association that will be amazing, to build big products so that everybody, whether you're a direct consumer of the sport, you are corporate Ghana, or you are the international community to be proud of.
And that's it on Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good day. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. Cameroon separatists are rejoicing over the death of the mayor of the country's southwest province capital, Boya. Mayor Ekema Patrick Esange died early Sunday under unspecified circumstances. The separatists denied they played a role in the mayor's death. And that is it for this Monday, October 28th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for starting your week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty, and sports editor Samson O'Malley, I'm James Butte in Washington saying have a good day.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
on the next Straight Talk Africa. The first ever Russia-Africa summit in Sochi marks a new era of economic, military, and political engagement between Russia and the continent. We'll take a closer look on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.